Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's got to be some kind of way out of here. Joining us now, Stan McCauley. He's a regular on the show. Hartford businessman, political activist, candidate for office sometimes. Hello there, Stan.
Hey, Todd. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Nice to have you here. So what's,
good to join you.
What's top of mind for you in our crazy world?
Oh, a lot of things going on. I guess for me, it's the my daughter's going back to school.
How old is your daughter?
Say that one more time.
How old is your daughter?
I got two daughters. One's 9. The other's 10. Be 11 in October, and they're going to be schooled distance learning from home. So
this is the plan from their school.
That's the plan from their dad.
Okay, so you don't want them going to school?
Oh, absolutely not. So if I listen to my government officials, the school's not safe. They say it's safe, but it can't be safe if you have to wear a mask. And I refuse to buy into the cornflakes, try them again for the first time type of, you know, approach to everything where we say one thing, but we're really mean something else because what we're saying makes no sense.
Well, but aren't they, I mean, you could look at the mask and say what they're really saying is, I'm scared to make a decision. I'm scared to say it's safe and then risk some kind of backlash because nothing's 100% safe. So you can't say things are 100% safe, but that's true of staying home. It's true of distance learning. It's true of allowing your kids to live in the house with you. I mean, everything has dangers built in.
There are dangers built in. There's risk in everything. There's risk going up and down the stairs every day. But
exactly,
if I'm going to buy in to the theory that the wizards of smart know best, then they are the people making the grand decisions, and to whom much is given, much is required. And if they can't make the decision to say the schools are safe, then I have to accept their wisdom in that they aren't safe.
And but it sounds, Stan, as if you're making the decision through the prism of politics rather than through the prism of what's best for your kids. Because if you're looking at it through what's best for your kids, you have to weigh two sides of the equation. What is the damage done to my children keeping them home and not having them have normal social life with their friends and normal education at school, and a rhythm of life that's returning somewhat to normal? What's that risk versus the COVID risk, which is pretty minimal for a young person? I mean, even if they do catch it, doesn't necessarily have any health consequences for them. And
well, my 30-plus-year-old, my 30-year-older daughter got COVID.
Now, wait a sec. You told us you had two daughters. Eight and nine, I think you said, right?
My youngest are 8 and 9. I have grandchildren my children's age.
Okay. Wow.
So
you are a hardworking man.
My oldest daughter, She got COVID. She's a flight attendant for one of the major airlines, and she has recovered. But my youngest kids, if that presupposes, you know, that the only place they could be socialized is in school, I don't subscribe to that. I think that they can be socialized in other places. You know, if that were the case, then, you know, what damage is done to the children being away from school during the summer when there's no socialization? So to me,
that's their chance to escape the process of socialization, have fun, feel their oats, and then prepare to go back into the big, ugly institution and the socialization process. But what will they be doing then? How will you provide your kids with all these riches that going to school does?
Well, they won't have the opportunity to stand in line, walk down the hall, take time out for bathroom breaks, time out for all the things that go on in the course of going back and forth as it relates to class. But they'll learn. They're going to actually focus on curriculum. They're going to focus on learning. They're going to focus on rigor. They're going to focus on all the things that schools seem to be moving away from. I don't think that the social engineering is necessary for their growth. I think that education is what's necessary for their growth. And since their parents, me and my wife, have the pleasure to be able to work from home, we're blessed that we can teach them and make sure that they're, you know, doing what's necessary to stay focused.
So they're not actually doing distance learning. They're doing home learning. They're going to be homeschooled by you and your wife.
This is my hybrid. If it was up to me, they'd have had homeschooling right from the jump. But brighter minds than mine, my wife and her friends, convinced me otherwise. But now I have the upper hand. So I have convinced my wife, her friends, and my two daughters that this is the best alternative given what they went through, you know, since, you know, January.
Oh, okay.
This was a great experience.
This provides a whole different flavor to the conversation. Hang on, Stan. We're talking to Stan McCauley, Hartford businessman, entrepreneur, political figure at times. 860-522-9842. Yeah, I want to learn more about this homeschooling decision. That's a big decision. All right, Stan. So this is kind of exciting because there is this whole homeschool movement that's been out there, and people, it sounds like you've got a little of that rebelliousness in you that drives a lot of homeschoolers, that you're mistrustful of the institutions and the politicians, and you just soon keep your kids to yourself and teach them through the vision of your perspective on the world and on life. And that's what's driving you?
There's a lot of that in there. And I think that, I think parents have the primary responsibility to teach their kids. And if they use the public school system or private schools to help in executing that responsibility, that's a great thing. I had no problem with my kids going to school. Fortunately, they were in the correct school system, so their schooling was great, as far as I could tell, and as far as my wife could tell. She's an education advocate, so we were satisfied with the education they were getting. But even more, I think we can micromanage their growth in education. And I don't subscribe to the notion that other minds are brighter than my mind when it comes to knowing what's best for my children and their education. I do not abandon that responsibility to someone else. I think that's my responsibility. And so I can't put that on other parents, but my primary responsibility is to make sure that my kids get an education in a very safe environment. And since I think that environment is compromised because I can't get a guarantee that the schools are safe.
Yeah. It's a good opportunity.
Go on.
No, I was just saying it's a good opportunity. I was just giving you a little energy here and your support for your point. Let me come at it from another direction that I think you might like. Over the last couple of months, since I've had proximity to my 12-year-old grandson, who I've started to take walks with. We take a walk once or twice a week, and he likes to pick my brain about what we talk about on the radio. And he's fascinated with the radio and what I talk about. And he wants to understand all of it. And we go for walks, and we just talk about everything in the world. And he's in love with this and riveted by it and can't wait, runs out of the house without saying goodbye to anybody when it's time for us to go for our walk. And it occurred to me that there's something very powerful about education being personalized for kids, that this idea of putting people into groups and having those groups march around buildings in the way that you said, you know, so much effort in schools is spent on logistics and discipline and just moving kids around and getting them all to open the book to the same page and all that stuff. I've never thought it made sense to pack hundreds of kids into a single building and have them all stratified by age and all those problems between age groups, bullying and all that. That education should be redone into a form more like what you're describing you want to do for your kids rather than the big institutionalized model.
Absolutely. I think this is the dawn of a new era for educational entrepreneurs. Teachers have an opportunity to find ways to be on the cutting edge of education by coming up with curriculum that can be going forward. To me, unions are missing the opportunity. Unions should be focusing on how can we create new ways to deliver educational content to people all over the country and around the world. There should be a fight for what great program is there. It's just like a consumer marketplace here. If I want a piece of curriculum that focuses on indigenous culture or Irish culture or African-American culture, I have a whole selection, and the selection can come from the Connecticut Education Association, it could come from Yale, it could come from Harvard, and I could pick these pieces of curriculum that have all been certified by some, you know, overriding governing body, and I can have my kids go through all of the things that are necessary, and then that they get, you know, whatever credit is going to come to them for that. And teachers can become rock stars. You can have curriculum that would just blow people out of the water. And everyone is at the starting gate of this opportunity. And it's shocking to me that so many people are trying to find ways to remain in the status quo when the door on the status quo has been closed. So these great new challenges give great occasions for opportunity, because you can find solutions to the challenges, and those solutions.
Yes, but Stan, how do you deal with the fact that the money is locked up? So huge amounts of money are spent on financing education in its current form, and that money is locked in place. You can't pry it loose because of those unions who want to do nothing to innovate, because that risks their control of the money. And if we had a system that in which that money belonged to the families to direct in whatever direction they wanted, do you know what the per pupil spending is in Hartford?
I can't give you an absolute number. I can almost be guaranteed it's over $10,000 per student.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Well, let's say for the sake of argument, it's $12,000. Think about if you had a gift certificate for each of your kids for $12,000, so $24,000, and suddenly you could take that money and use it to provide them an education. Imagine your scenario with that kind of juice available to finance making great education happen instead of paying for pensions and bus drivers and custodians and buildings and all that.
Consumer choice. That's real choice. Then I could go, you know, maybe a teacher down in Suffield, another teacher in Boise, Idaho, another teacher in Miami. All these people have their curriculum. They're all certified. I could pick this one, and for every one that I pick, I'm obligated to spend that $12,000 on a particular offering, and then it goes out. The unions and all of these people who, are using the system for their benefit, not for the benefit of the kids, but for the benefit of the adult.
Yes.
They're going to be forced to have to make the change, because schools eventually will close as the second wave comes. The second wave is coming, just like it did in the, 1918. They can pretend that it's not coming. We're already seeing it come, and it hasn't even gotten cold yet. So when the schools do close, they're going to have to go to a distance learning-based type of education system. And by the time this thing is over, the new normal will be set. So the people who take advantage of this now are the ones who are going to be coming out on the other side of this education opportunity.
Stan McCauley, you are an optimist. I don't see anything quite that that clear coming down the pike, but I hope you are correct. Thank you, sir. It's great to talk with you, and I love your imagination and independent thinking. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Stan McCauley is a businessman and political leader from the city of Hartford, and we have these little chats every week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.